Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to yet another, I'm going to be honest, kind of depressing episode of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your home with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Sammons. Chris Elogi will probably be joining us in a little bit. Maybe, maybe not. We're not quite sure yet, but
we're going to play this thing by ear.
Yeah. So this episode is going to be for August 18th, 2017. Halfway through August, and just keep telling yourself, summer's almost over. Summer's almost over.
Oh my God, the ground is still lava.
Yeah. The ground is still lava, and it's raining lava from the sky.
Oh, I can make it worse.
Oh.
So, because I have to drain my leg again, I am back on the hydrochlorothiazide, which means no direct sunlight, which means in this 95-degree heat, I'm wearing a hoodie to and from work.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
Know, I didn't think it could get worse, but yeah you did
totally
get there, Pat.
Cool.
And then I'll add into that with hot rain.
Yeah,
there are a few things worse than a hot summer day and then rain starts falling and you expect, oh, it'll be nice and cool or refreshing water. No, it's about lukewarm to...
to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what, folks? You really don't need me to tell you what we're going to be talking about in the beginning of the show, because pretty much everybody all over the world already heard about it.
Yeah.
Some very awful shit went down in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it just, there's a lot of stuff to go through, because there's layers upon layers.
Too much to unpack, really.
Yeah. Really, the fact it was, the whole thing only happened in a matter of like a few hours, but the amount of details that you need to go through to talk about that is, can be staggering and can take up two or three shows on its own. So we will be talking about it, but we will not be trying to focus completely on it, because there's other stuff we got to talk about too that is somewhat related to it, and also because I don't want this show to be nothing but a depression Olympics.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's Weekend is us blowing off steam at the end of our week, so it kind of defeats the purpose if we go down that road.
But at the same time, you know, these are serious times we're living in, and
it demands conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's just a mention. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
But like, you know, other than that, of course, we're also going to be talking about like some sports news, some more science news. HBO Spain accidentally the upcoming Game of Thrones episode.
Oops.
Whoops. And Netflix is getting some new stuff, too, which that's kind of surprising. They always are getting new stuff. Like, I remember
that's kind of necessary for their business.
Yeah, but remember a little while, a couple of shows back ago, we basically found out that they were like, what, $20 million something dollars in the hole?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this place
isn't going to pay that off.
Yeah. But, yeah, so all of that and more we'll be talking about on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, get everything started. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, this week it's been kind of the same as last week. I got my copy of the debut album from Rush on vinyl. Been listening to that. Sounds great. I still think Finding My Way is probably one of the best songs they've ever done.
And so, Neil Peart is nowhere in sight.
No. No, this is three albums before Neil Peart, actually.
Yeah.
So he's nowhere in sight. It's a good album, a very different sound from them. But, very, very worth it. And
from what I've heard, their really early stuff was, like, closer to, like, you know, Cream or Mountain or something like that. That's sort of like late 60s, early 70s power trio type stuff.
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah, there's definitely a bit of Creed in there for sure. So, yeah, if you haven't had a chance to check out the early Rush stuff, it's definitely worth it. But I personally think that the band was better once Neil Peart did show up. But what the heck, you know?
Well, Neil Peart's a show all in himself. So,
yeah.
I mean, he you put him in a band, it automatically is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Just by the fact that virtue of him being there.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I saw an interview about they were auditioning for a new drummer because the original dude was gonna be leaving. He couldn't take touring anymore. And Neil Peart shows up to do his audition, and it's like, there's this massive guy sitting down with this tiny drum kit. It's like, just looks funny, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. Neil Peart's actually a pretty large guy. He just doesn't look like it because, you know, his actual drum kit is like five times the size he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think his drum kit has like 3 zip codes at this point. Mm-hmm. So
3 zip codes, 5 home pages, and I think like 6 or 7 P.O. boxes.
Yeah. And several epic solos.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a thing that's been going on. I've also been watching some more Mythbusters and stuff on TV. Well, Plex, because that's what I use. Have I mentioned that Plex is awesome? Let's just point that out. It's getting better and better and better every time, every release. So,
yes.
Yeah, they've added live TV now.
Ooh.
Yeah, just got a... You know, hook up an antenna and you've got live TV on your Plex. So, with DVR functionality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There goes my hard drives.
It's like, shit. Yeah. So that's been a thing. And also, yeah, I had holes poked in my eyeballs. So that was fun.
Yeah. Bill here, he went and got LASIK surgery.
Yep. Got done for glaucoma. It took 5 minutes, and it was actually the light to spot the laser was actually more painful than the laser itself. So, yeah, the laser itself was kind of like getting a little piece of dust stuck in your eye for like a split second, and then it was gone. Hmm. So, yeah, it was just...
Annoying more than anything?
Yeah, it was annoying more than anything. It's a little weird, a little disconcerting the first time because you don't know what you're expecting. But yeah, it goes fine, and my vision has recovered back to 10 years ago. So, you know, I'm not. It's still not great, but it's better than it was. So I'm happy about that. And yeah, that's been my week, and that's how I am hoping to end it on a high note, but then all this other stuff happened, so...
Yeah.
So, how about you, Pat?
Pretty uneventful week for me, mostly just, going through work and being sick a little bit, but I'm better now, and, just got a lot of stuff to catch up on, really. Hmm. So... Whether it's gaming or streaming or, you know.
Yeah, you got to get that Rock the Rink streak going. Cause
I do.
Yeah. That's going to be fun because it'll be like one
I told
you
I was
going
to do it that night and then I completely spaced it.
Yeah.
That didn't really have anything to do with me being sick or anything. That just had to do with me being a space case.
Okay.
So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
but it will happen. Sooner than later, probably sometime this weekend. I've got to at least check it out.
Yeah, because it's one of those games that you've never played, so yeah, it should be interesting to
see. It'll be me going in with no expectations. Sometimes those can be the best plays through.
Yeah,
I know there have been plenty of games that I've come across over the years that I wish I could go back and play again for the first time.
Yeah, so this will be a fun one, I think.
Cool.
All right then, well, Teresa, what about you?
I have been rewatching The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy and thoroughly enjoying it, of course. You know, part of the heyday of Cartoon Network. It's wonderful, and there's so much that I had forgotten. So that's been fun. And there's a lot of things that go right over my kid's head, which is really good.
It's called getting shit past the radar, and it is a wonderful technique.
Oh, yep. My God, it is. It is. I mean, I'm aware now, of course, of how much I missed in Bugs Bunny and stuff. I mean, damn.
Or like the Animaniacs or...
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, they were like the masters of it.
Oh, yeah.
They were, yeah. But I was in college when I was watching that, so I was getting it the whole time. So, been doing that. Still watching the season of Adam Ruins Everything. And he's doing a really good job of ruining stuff. I'm enjoying it. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that show. But
what was the last one you watched?
I watched the one about breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was healthcare. I did not watch the dating one. Kids started playing it on Plex, and we're like, nope. We heard Tinder. Nope, nope, nope. You're going to nope right out of that until we preview that one. But we've watched the rest of them. I know I'm a little behind this season. Probably not too much. What, only 1 or 2 weeks behind? So yeah. Dealing with more family stuff. It's definitely cancer for grandma, and I may be going back to Kentucky in order to take her to Nashville, because family, you know, they live right there, but, and they're never going to listen to this, so I can bitch about them. you know,
you say on. That.
Please. My mother couldn't figure out a podcast if it smacked her in the face. And it needs to, something needs to. But I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy. I think I've done probably 20 hours in the past 2 days, and I've been busy the past 2 days. I haven't been home, except I have been, obviously. So I got, I don't know, I think I got up to about 27 or 28 on Brandon's server, and I was tanking. And that is a very... nerve-wracking experience.
You're new to that.
I'm extremely new to that. I have never tanked before, ever. Didn't do it in 11. Haven't done it in anything else. Only died once. And one other person died because that person did not stay the fuck back. Mm. Their DPS, they were playing like they were a tank, and the healer was like, look, I'm going to let you die. And she did.
Was it just melee DPS being melee DPS, or were they being stupid about it?
No, their main is tank, and they just were not.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was very disconcerting for me, being a new
team. I'm going to rush in because my brain defaults to the mentality that I have 40,000 hit points.
And you don't. And, you know, it's hard for me.
But you have 5,000.
You know, when you're under 30, you have to really work to keep the enmity. So, you know, I'm doing what I can. I'm doing fight or flight. I'm doing flash. I'm doing shield lob. And this little motherfucker's over here getting murdered. And so, you know, that's his own thing. And I said in party chat, I'm like, look, you got to knock it off. So that has been interesting. And I think I'm going to keep pursuing that.
When the Black Mage's name is Spammy McSpam Spam, you're going to have a bad time.
You know, don't Leroy Jenkins this shit. So, been doing that, but also have been going back over to Tonberry, and I've been having a hard time getting the parties that I need for what I need to do in order to go further in the main storyline.
Yeah.
But, I did get one today, and we muddled through it. It was...
I can help you out after the show.
Okay. Well, some of these are nutso. Like, it's... I have to do... Well, I don't have to, but I want to do Labyrinth of the Ancients. But I need to do...
I still need to do that.
You do? Okay. I'm going to do Shiva, the Extreme Fight. And I think that's the one that I need for... the main storyline in order to get moving on. And I also have to do Striking Tree Extreme because both of those are prerequisites for the next quest. So in for Garuda Awakening. I've been seeing that for the past 3 weeks and laughing, but I'm almost kind of crying because I'm sick of being stuck on this quest.
One thing I can tell you about Labyrinth of the Ancients is that it's going to give you some Final Fantasy XI triggers.
Yeah. Okay.
One well, of the first like bosses.
There's 24.
One of the first bosses you come to is Atomos.
Are you kidding? Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay. I really want to get that. I want to get this done this weekend. So I want to be able to move ahead. Otherwise, I might just switch servers, which is sad because I have probably about 400 hours logged on this server.
Well, you can move a character. It just costs money.
Yeah, and I don't want to spend the money. But, and, you know, the American server's a bit spammy, too. And there's a little bit of drama. You know, it's the usual stuff. The Japanese server seems to be a little more professional.
Yeah.
How is gaming professional? Well, you know. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. And a little bit of Sonic. A little bit of Sonic.
You started it tonight.
No, I started it yesterday.
Oh.
But I was playing. Or, no, maybe I started today. What the
like,
hell?
I thought
what
you just saying? Literally picked it up. Like before we started the podcast.
Oh, no, no. I did. I bought it. I installed it. And Scott and Jacob played the hell out of it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So me, you started personally. It. No, I think I did it before I went out today. I was playing some before I went out. Or maybe it was after I got back. I don't know, dude.
It's a blur.
It really is. It really is.
It's Friday.
It's a derp life. So, Brandon, what have you been doing?
So I heard you've been playing some Sonic, too.
Yeah?
Sonic Mania? Okay, so rest of you guys been able to play it yet?
I have.
Yeah, so what's the verdict?
Oh, I love it.
The game they should have made back in 97.
Ah.
Instead of going to war with itself over Sonic Extreme.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
This is a $20 no-brainer. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's fun. There's some challenge to it. It's really cool to see everything kind of mixed up and turned on its ear, so.
Yeah. Hey, that collector's edition, though. Eek.
Yeah.
No.
I know Danrib got one.
Yeah, Danrib bought one. No, Matei didn't get one. But I think he just downloaded it. Yeah. But yeah, that's weird, though. The collector's edition doesn't actually come with a game disc or cartridge or anything like that.
Yeah, there are rumors that a cartridge is coming.
Yeah, there might be. Standard editions,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But collector's edition is just a download code with some pretty sweet extras in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Including a ring packed in a Genesis cartridge.
Yeah.
But it's not a fitted Genesis cartridge. You have to have a 32X to put it in, but it's beside the point because there's no game in it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody is going to mod that shit. You know that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Although the official Sonic social media trolled pretty hard by showing a box for a Saturn version.
You know, with new games...
I will buy.
Yeah. Well, you know, new games do come out on old consoles now, so, you know, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
So how about you?
All right, well, anyway, so, yeah, as usual has been the case for the last couple weeks, my primary gaming has still been Final Fantasy XIV. I am now at level 46, and as far as story goes, I'm now at the point where I recently just freed all of the surviving members of the Signs of the Seventh Dawn from an Imperial outpost or slash fortress that was out on the edges of Mordona. And yeah, that was fun.
Shit gets dark.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It gets dark pretty quickly. Also, can I just say that I really hate those Nyx.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Bubbly Nyx and Stupid Nyx and Buttfuck Nyx?
Yeah.
Oh, God, do we need to,
they're basically
we need to edit that out?
They're basically gigantic frogs that that they're not very fast, but they have long elastic tongues that can catch and pull you.
Yeah, they will grapple you.
Oh, those guys. Oh, I thought you meant the goblins.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, as soon as you get near one, you got to run the hell away from it, because it's, it's going to nab you.
Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, other than that, it's mostly just those, what are they called? Morbolds?
Morbolds, yeah.
Yeah, I hate those things so much. Because not only are they just absolutely butt ugly, but if you get hit with that,
bad breath?
Yeah, that bad breath move of theirs.
You get all of the
sad ailments. That's half your life gone. Mm-hmm. Like, not instantly, but it basically gives you just an awful cocktail of, status shit that basically makes you nigh useless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a Final Fantasy tradition. They will never make a Final Fantasy game without those.
No. No, I guess maybe I got over them in 11 because they really were tough little buggers.
They tee off on you.
God.
But, so, I now know who is currently possessing who as far as the Acacians is concerned. Or the... Uh-huh. Or however they're called.
Salty about that for a long time, too.
Yeah, although I would like to say I was surprised, but honestly...
Yeah.
If you look back at it, you kind of knew something was up with that guy.
And, I have looked back on it. I there was a scene that I had just interrupted him and Minophilia talking. And, he was talking about how he was letting everybody down and just kind of trailed off there because I walked into the room or they noticed me. And I'm like, I see where that's coming from in hindsight. Acians. That's I think that's how they pronounce it when they're talking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm there. My trial will be ending in, I think, like 3 days. I do intend on,
Subscribing
for real. It's just going to be a question of getting the funds in order, but it can be done. I'm pretty sure I'm getting, I've beaten all of the primals, basically. I've gone ahead and now directly confronting the Garleans, so I'm pretty sure I'm getting close to the tail end of A Realm Reborn.
Yep.
Probably. I mean, level you're already 46, right?
Yeah, level 50 is the cap, so I'm currently level 46. So
yeah, you're coming up on the end of the main quest line for A Realm Reborn.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, that doesn't mean Heaven's Ward starts right away.
No, I believe you have to do some other side quest shit.
Through the Maelstrom. All of the patches get proper names as though they're like mini expansions.
Yeah. Through the Maelstrom. I guess that's going to be involving the actual Maelstrom.
Yeah.
They're the ones who help you with the issue that you'll be dealing with.
Yeah. Because that's basically who I ended up giving my allegiance to, the Maelstrom. Because an entire city-state run by pirates. How cool is that?
And I had a
their ruler is this like
one of your favorite characters.
Yes, and their ruler is this giant statuesque rogue. What's the racial? Rogue-ine. What's the rogue chick with giant tits? I mean, what's not to love?
She is definitely in 3D.
Mm-hmm. I will admit though that her sort of weirdly corny usage of pirate and nautical terminology is a little off-putting.
I think she does it ironically.
Well, I mean, she was an actual pirate captain, yeah. So it makes kind of sense. And considering she rules over a city-state that was founded by pirates, so...
I'm getting real sick of the whole dialect of everything. I'm just like, oh my god, will you shut up? Just say it in normal English.
Yeah.
Which is ironic, because it's not good in English.
Yeah, so other than that, of course, I'm still doing my reading. I finally got a copy of Assassin's Apprentice by Robin Hobb, which is the beginning of her sort of her whole gigantic series of books about the Elderlings, and it's basically sort of like a coming of age type thing about this kid who's, you know, born a bastard, and he gets, because he's technically related to the king, he sort of gets an actual room to live in the castle, and then he comes under the tutelage of this guy named Shade, who teaches him to be a royal assassin. So, you know, things like daggers and poisons and stuff like that. Also reading...
And destroying target tap creatures.
Yeah. Also reading Acacia, which is by David... I think his name's David Allen Durham. And it's very Game of Thrones-esque. It's sort of it's really complicated. I'd talk about it some other time.
Yeah, I read the first book of that series and was like, okay, I think I'm done.
Well, that's good, because fortunately the first book is pretty much self-contained.
Yeah.
I've heard it referred to as a two-part trilogy, because basically the first book is completely self-contained, and the next two are basically one book spread over two volumes. So,
yeah.
So the thing you got to know is everybody has lots of sex.
Yes, they do.
Because, that's where fantasy is now. I'm not complaining, mind you, but...
Yeah, there's, I think, also some interracial going on in there, too, so...
Yeah, interracial, interspecies. Yeah. And by that I mean there's like a whole subsection of vaguely animal-like people that start invading their continent, and...
And you get three guesses how that happened, or...
Let's see. So, other than that, let's see, what else? Oh, I've basically been annoying the hell out of the people at Guitar World.
Oh.
Because I go in there and fiddle with shit and never buy anything.
Oh, you're that guy.
Yeah. I'm the guy who spends like 30 minutes constantly just banging away on the drum kit over in the corner, and then just get up and leave.
Okay, then.
By the way, because of that, I now know that I could never, ever be a drummer in a band. I can keep pace. I can keep time. I can keep rhythm. But I cannot keep myself from falling over exhausted.
Yeah.
Brandon, stop yourself.
Yeah. See, there's a reason whenever you see, like, concert videos or something that the drummer is usually not wearing a shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not because he wants to look sexy.
No, it's because if he didn't, he'd probably disintegrate. Spontaneously combust.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ah, so that's what that joke in Spinal Tap meant.
Yeah.
Wow, that movie does somehow still manage to have so many layers.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and as usual, I keep trolling neo-Nazis.
As you do.
Specifically having to do with what we're going to be talking about in a little bit. And there's a really good reason. So, despite the horrible shit that went down in Charlottesville, which we're going to be talking about, one of the things they forget to tell you is that before all that shit went down, the Nazi slime had gotten their asses thoroughly kicked by Antifa before that point.
Yes, they do.
I had some friends who were some colleagues in the struggle who were up there. And they basically reported dozens of Nazis walking away with black eyes, bruises, cuts, bleeding on the concrete. Good times. But, that's been my week. Did anybody want to add anything else before we dive headlong into the shit?
I think I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. So, I believe it is once again time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, folks, I got another serious one for you this week. I want to tell you a little bit about a book. It is a book that is very well loved by a certain kind of garbage. specifically, a certain former member of the Trump administration. It is a novel called... Well, hold on. I need to get the original French name. Le Camp des Saints, or The Camp of the Saints. It was originally published in 1973 by author Jean Raspail. This wasn't his first book, by the way. He had already published a few. And before then, he had become known as an explorer. He had taken, voyages and journeys into, the old lands of the Incas, the Mayans, parts of sub-Saharan Africa. And so the thing you need to know about Jean Raspail is that he is a hardcore reactionary hyper-Catholic monarchist.
Uh-oh.
He is basically... He basically blames the rise of liberalism and socialism and communism for the failings of the modern French Republic. And he actually wants a Catholic monarchy restored. Preferably someone who is a direct descendant of the House of Bourbon. So someone who is related to King... Not someone who isn't related to Bonaparte, but is, part related to King Louis. Pick a name. Pick a number. The book itself is a... Well, it's a piece of shit, frankly. It's basically a story about how... this is sort of how he put it. Supposedly, he claimed that in 1971, he was looking over the French Riviera, and he wrote somewhere where he said, "What if they were to come? I did not know who they were, but it seemed inevitable to me that the numberless disinherited people of the South would, like a tidal wave, set sail one day for this opulent shore, our fortunate country's wide gaping frontier." And as you probably know, that basically means he thought that, as the book postulates, a gigantic wave of third world immigration would swallow and destroy Western Christendom. So basically, it's like it's a really good look at the way this guy sees the world. He basically imagines them. First of all, they're all completely heathens. There's not, according to him, none of them are in any way civilized, savage. They're all savage heathens. In the context of the book, none of these, these third world migrants are people. They're like a sort of like a plague that slowly sweeps across the Western world. And every time he describes them, he always describes them as filthy, unclean, unchaste, constantly wallowing in, garbage and, filthy living conditions. He describes how when they all start leaving for Europe, they all come in all these little river boats where they're crowded, unsanitary, and they're openly fornicating. It's like he sees them as savages, 100%. And then basically the way this sort of apocalypse of his, in his view, happens is that there were a lot of people who sort of, who in his view called, would consider enablers, people who, you know, because, you know, they actually feel bad for these people, and want to give them a home. But the problem is that apparently, according to this guy, they reproduce too fast and eventually outnumber the white people. There's a lot of talk of, like, how people were foolish for, quote, having lost pride in race. He basically saw the world as, like, a, you know, he starts... Once they start making camp, basically, they start, you know, killing people and selling their bodies for food. It is absolutely reprehensible the way it views third world people. It is absolutely grotesque. There's a reason why. Okay, so back. The reason this book sort of became a thing in the West was in 1976. There was like this big, like, a publicity campaign around this book when I think there was a major publisher. I think it was, I can't remember who it was that was publishing it. Let me see. Scribner. Yeah, that's what it was. Scribner, 1975. And basically, they thought that it said that it had this tagline of "the end of the white world is near." And then when Time Magazine and Kirkus Reviews, you know, actually reviewed the book, they basically compared it to Mein Kampf, and that it was just shockingly, horrifyingly racist. It's even been compared to stuff like the Turner Diaries. Do you guys know what the Turner Diaries are?
I can't say as I do.
I'll have to talk about that in another episode. But basically, it's another novel written by the guy who was it was written under the pen name Andrew McDonald, but the writer was actually the leader of the National Alliance, which was like the big white power group in the 90s.
Yeah.
The reason this book still comes into existence every so often and is because, for whatever reason, part right-wing intellectuals freaking love it. It shows up, you know, they've talked about it in the National Review, Atlantic Monthly, and of course a current, now former member of the Trump administration was a pretty big fan of it and talked about it whenever he could, even saying that it helped him decide things like national policy, which is especially worrying.
It's fucking terrifying.
Well, yes, because in the book, the solution they have for all the third world immigration is straight genocide. Like,
naturally.
No, they're, and I don't mean that rhetorically. I mean, you know, they basically say that, you know, it, the solution is once the people start coming onto the shores, they should start shooting. And yeah, it is one. It's up there with like I said, the Turner Diaries, Mein Kampf, and other extremist books as sort of like one of the most loved books in the white supremacist world. And the thing what a lot of people don't realize is that book was actually a bestseller in France when it first came out. And it wasn't Jean Raspail's last book. In fact, he's still alive. He's 92 years old. He's still put out several other books. He's you know, he's still publishing, and his books still sell fairly well. I mean, he was even given an award in, I think it was in 2007 by the Académie Française for his contribution to French letters. You know.
Okay.
But that is what the Camp of the Saints is. It's a horrifyingly racist screed that actually the only English company that still publishes it over here in the West is the Social Contract Press, which, for those of you who don't know, that is the Sorry, I got some gnats in here.
I completely understand.
The only company that publishes it today in the West is Social Contract Press, which is related to people like, VDARE and, you know, Federation of Americans for Immigration Reform, American Renaissance, basically these anti-immigrant white nationalist think tanks, you know. And that has been a rather dreary installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And now that I got out of the way, Chris has finally joined us now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, is it Nazi time now?
Yeah, it's just about. Just but before, yep, you're just in time. But before you do that, let us know what you've been up to this week.
I've kind of been busy with work most of the week, so I haven't done too much. But I did watch a bunch of Last Week Tonight's. I got a hold of a bunch of the full episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to see what the rest of the show is like, and there's some crazy stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was older stuff, I think season 2, so about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just, here's the stupid shit Donald Trump has done this week.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of the last episodes, and I was like, okay, so that's what the next couple of years of this is going to be. Hey, here's 10 minutes of the stupid shit Donald Trump does, and
it's a well that never really runs dry.
Yeah, because I think we've said this before. We kind of end every week saying, "Well, it can't get any worse than this," and it gets worse every single week.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. For games, I just kind of been dipping into a lot of stuff. I got Undertale on the PS4 and Vita. Played through like 2 save points, so not much. Started up Matterfall, played a couple levels of that, and that's pretty good, but it's almost kind of a bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complex mechanical game. I'll probably have to do a video for that and sort of show what I'm talking about, but it's a dual-stick shooter, side-scrolling, kind of has a little bit of a vibe from, Overlands, whatever the previous game they did. I was trying to – the one that's the kind of the bullet hell Outland. That's what it is. That game is kind of taking from that. There's a little bit of that to it, but you have this like boost move that you can boost through bullets. Then at the end, you spray out this this like orb around you, and if there are any enemies or whatever, they freeze. So if you shoot them and kill them, you get like double points, something like that. But – you're very much using both sticks to run around and shoot, as well as using all 4 shoulder buttons. So it's a little bit hectic, especially trying to get a hang of what all of those do. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I just have to get used to how to play that game. What else have I been doing? I played some more No Man's Sky. Now that big update is out, and that is pretty cool. There's like story to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting closer now to what it was originally promising. It's not completely there yet, but you can see signs of it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the most part, it's there. I put like 4 or 5 hours into it the day after that update happened, and that was pretty fun to have. Like the story stuff is more like a a tutorial sort of showing you a bit of everything and sort of helping you learn more of the base building stuff and some of the other things that are in there instead of just like, oh, here's this new big update, blah, here's all these features, go figure it out. Hmm. It's sort of a good way to sort of gradually introduce you to all this stuff, which is smart. What else? Oh, yeah. I went from having no copies of that Farpoint AIM controller bundle mm-hmm. to having two.
Okay.
and that was just purely because I didn't know I'd be able to get two. So I grabbed GameSpot, or not GameSpot, GameStop was getting stock in, and it was lasting long enough that I was like, I don't know if Best Buy is going to get it or get it when I'm available to get it. So I jumped on it for a GameStop, and to their credit, I ordered it on Monday, and I got it on Thursday shipping.
That ain't bad.
Which is really fast, especially when their shipping's like, it'll take like 1 day to ship and then 4 to 7 business days. And like, that was 4 business days just to get here. Mm-hmm. That was really surprising. And about an hour after it arrived, about the next day after I ordered it, Best Buy started getting it in, but it was more intermittent, the stock. I just happened to refresh it at the right time where it's like, well, it's not in stock online, but your store is going to have, you can order it for pickup in store. And it's like, oh, getting that, because that's $64 with Gamers Club unlocked instead of $80 at GameStop. So I was like, okay, I'm jumping on that. And then they said, wouldn't be able to pick up until Saturday, and when it arrived, when the GameStop copy arrived, an hour later, I got the notice like, "Oh, your pickup's ready." I was like, "Well," and so I was like, "Okay, this just went perfectly." I wish it would have. I would have gotten an email while I was at work because I was right next to a Best Buy, right next to that Best Buy, so I could have picked it up on the way home. I was like, "Nah, I just." Drove all the way home. I'm not going all the way back just for that. So I picked it up. I went a little early on the way to work and picked it up. It's still sitting in my trunk. So I got to deal with that. But essentially, I'm going to take the other one, stick it in my trunk. I got to go to work in the morning. And at the end, I'm going to stop at GameStop and return it. Return that one. And then I'll have one copy of this thing. Yeah. And I can start playing some more stuff with that thing. As far as YouTube stuff, I did Dungeon Defenders for my freeloading game, which is pretty cool. I found a weird thing where they have this these portals that'll pop up as just like an extra place where enemies can spawn from. And they're on the ground, but the enemies spawn from the air. So I was setting up... shields and towers and such to right around that circle, and then they were just spawning right on top of it, just dropping from the air. It's like, how the hell are they getting past this? Oh, they're just landing on top of my shields, just able to walk over. That's shitty. you have your portal on the floor. They should come out of the floor. The VR game I played was Darknet, which is a sort of a hacking puzzle game. Which is really cool. It's really hard to explain because it's not like a normal hacking game. It's more of a puzzle game in a sense. But you're doing it like there's a little bit of story to it. It's about VR has brought this new thing to hacking, and so you're like hacking for money and such. It's a pretty cool game, but you definitely should watch the video too. See exactly how that works. And the anniversary I celebrated was Sleeping Dogs turned 5 the other day. And also had some melancholy part of that because United Front Games is no longer around. They got kicked in the nuts by Square Enix when came time to actually make a sequel. And said, hey, go make this free-to-play game nobody wants. And surprise, surprise, nobody wanted it. They had to cancel it. Yep. and they tried that last-ditch effort of making an early access game that they hoped would catch on to keep them going, but nope. And we may never get another Sleeping Dogs game. But, yeah. That's kind of been it.
Yeah.
Time for the Nazis.
Yes, it is. It's time for the Nazis. Okay. So, you guys are already know who our assholes of the week are. And
there really was no competition at all.
No, there wasn't. I mean,
there wasn't much other news.
Yeah,
it's like all this, so it kind of had to be.
Yeah, but so basically, here's sort of the story that you need to know. In Charlottesville, Virginia, there's this big statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. And there has been discussion for some time in Charlottesville to have that statue removed. Because the truth of the matter is first of all, Robert E. Lee really wasn't someone to look up to. Despite the sort of cult of personality that, you know, lost causers like to give him. Not only did he actually own slaves that were regularly beaten by their overseers, but his forces during the war captured hundreds of freed blacks from Union territory and shipped them south for enslavement. So,
and he was a traitor.
Oh yeah, and he also betrayed his country. There's that.
I actually saw somebody on the internet try to equate that to George Washington being a traitor to the crown. It's like, no, that's, they don't have statues of George Washington in England.
No. So they have one somewhere in Oxford. But yeah, they got one. And
it's like, okay, we'll talk about Britain if Britain's really mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
They can deal with that. This is a different situation.
And for the record, they've actually, you know, the only other, like, president that they have statues of other than him is, you know, John Adams and Abraham Lincoln. And the reason Adams is there is because Adams helped, you know, reestablish diplomatic relations with the king, with the UK. And of course Lincoln, because he was Lincoln.
Yeah. Needs
so,
no explanation.
All these alt-right white nationalist douchebags decided they were going to have something called the Unite the Right rally. And the night before they did that, they had a giant tiki torch.
Which they've done
gathering.
Before.
Yeah, well,
I think when they announced they were going to take it down, they had that sort of tiki torch rally thing.
Yeah, except the tiki torch thing, I think, is directly supposed to be a reference to Richard Spencer, because they had a similar rally beforehand, but they didn't all use tiki torches. It was just that one picture of Spencer carrying one, and they decided to make that their statement. And so there was hundreds of these douchebags that night going around chanting, "Jews will not replace us," "White Lives Matter," "Blood and Soil." Yeah, that last one is a pretty clear reference to where their sympathies lie.
Yeah.
That is literally a reference to Blood und Botan. You know, the which was an old slogan that the Nazis used. They started doing their parades. They surrounded some churches and some synagogues. Keep in mind, some of the folks in this crowd had long guns on them. So you can imagine being, you know, a Jewish individual and, you know, you're doing like having a night service in the synagogue. I'm not sure if it was a service or it was just, you know, some of their staff there. And you have actual honest-to-God neo-Nazis in the United States marching around, Sieg Heiling with guns. And basically having to tell that you need to let them know you might want to go out the back entrance so that you don't go into, you don't find yourself in any kind of life-threatening situation.
If I were anywhere and there were a bunch of white men with guns slung across their backs, I would nope the fuck right out of there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to hear them over the sound of me shitting myself.
Yeah.
You know, I can't find it in me to disagree with you.
No.
Especially seeing how it all ended up.
I mean, if it unless it was like a group from Redneck Revolt, then that would be fine. But
nope.
You know, otherwise,
when the cops feel outgunned, that's when you know it's bad.
We're getting to that.
Yeah.
So I need to let you guys know. The news kind of made this out like it was going to be this. It was just this sudden thing, but. In the circles I run with, we've known about this rally happening since July, because they announced it all the way back in the middle of last month, and you know, so what happened is then that the next day at Charlottesville, they all decided to have their big rally, and that big rally was attended by. Rather than just regular alt-right, actual honest-to-God neo-Nazis and Klansmen in full regalia, all the with swastikas and blood crosses and freaking, you know, symbols of Identity Europa and the American Vanguard and
Nazi flags, Confederate flags, all that good stuff.
Nazi flags, Confederate flags, blue line flags.
Quote unquote Confederate flags.
Yeah.
Just in case you need to know that there's no more purity to the Confederate. Like, oh, it's just about history.
Yeah. I think Stephen Colbert said it best. Is like, you know, I saw the flags they had this rally, and they couldn't agree to which flag they were supposed to salute to. There was also counter-protesters that showed up who, first of all, this needs to be made. They had not one, but two permits. The counter-protesters did. They had two permits. Now, the other side also had permits. You know, when these two sides come together, shit's going to go down.
Yeah, things aren't going to stay above board.
No. And basically, what you need to know is the Nazis struck first. And everything went down the vortex. there was tit-for-tat violence that started. Some of you may have seen, I've got it on my Facebook page, that photograph of that big stacked black dude with a, you know, his homemade flamethrower. What you need to know is, that picture tells a story, but you need a bit of context to it. The first thing you need to know is that the reason he's got that shit out is because one of those white supremacist douchebags pointed a gun at his head and then fired at the ground. And
oh, hell no.
He ran and he saw, you see him in the picture. It's this scrawny little old guy next to him, who was an elderly person who was with the counter protesters. And you see that huge mob of pasty white supremacist douchebags. And that's the reason he has the flamethrower out, because he's trying to protect this poor little guy who's hunched over in a corner somewhere. Oh, something else you need to know. First of all, his name's Corey Long, and he works as an elderly care worker.
Okay.
So, you know, he has you know why he's doing this.
Yeah.
And you know he's not alone, too, because there's that other guy that's next to him. Also in that picture. And that was, you know, the whole chaos probably lasted about maybe an hour and a half. It was over pretty quickly. The counter protesters, the Antifa people, were more or less, unscathed. Most of the damage was done on the Nazis and the white supremacists. I had some people that I knew who were, fellow brothers and sisters in the struggle, and they were up there, and they reported back to me dozens of skinheads walking away with black eyes and bruises and cuts. So, yeah, they got their asses pretty thoroughly kicked. I know they've tried to say different. No. They were limping by the time they left. So then what happened is, after all that was done, the police finally came in and broke it up. Yeah, that's the other thing. For some reason, the police said they didn't want to intervene because a lot of those dudes apparently had guns and they didn't want to want to risk a shooting.
Guns, incident. Riot shields. They had a lot of shit.
Yeah, there's videos on here of them surrounding the park, just having guys with these assault rifles and such, just hanging out, making sure to threaten everybody on the other side.
Yeah,
as much as I can.
And so all the Nazis decided, that's it, we're done, going home. And then so remember all the counter-protesters that was left, it's like they had sort of a celebratory march going down the street. And then some asshole in his car, his name, I cannot even remember what his name is now. And honestly, it doesn't matter because he's in jail and he's gonna get 15 to life.
That's a lot of anal gauging.
Yeah, first of all, you need to know, yes, this dude was a Nazi. He was a white supremacist. He was seen with the American Vanguard people with one of their shields. So, you know, there is no question here. He was definitely a Nazi. Got into his car, and as this march was going down, he plowed into him with his car, going speeding down the street 40 something miles an hour, and then he reversed. And in the aftermath, a good 20 something people were very badly injured, and one 32-year-old woman, Heather Heyer, was killed. And that's really all you need to know.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
They killed someone.
He killed someone, and then did you not read what he said about her after that?
Well, I don't think was it explicitly him, or was it someone else?
I think it was, but you know what? I can't be positive, so I'm gonna wait on
that. All you need to know is that a lot of those douchebags that were related, that were either in that particular group or were sympathetic to that group, basically turned around and called her a fat slut who was, you know, a
drain on society, having done her only task in life, which is to reproduce, and living off of the hard work of men. And even though people aren't going to admit to it, they're glad that another parasite is dead.
Yeah. That's actually Andrew Anglin from the Daily Stormer that you're talking about. Yeah.
That's another story coming up.
Yeah.
She worked as a paralegal at a law firm in Charlottesville.
Yeah. She was a lawyer.
She just celebrated her 5-year anniversary there last week.
Yep. And
basically, her boss had nothing but amazing things to say about her. Her parents are way stronger than I would expect them to be.
Mm-hmm.
The mom is setting up a foundation in her name.
Yeah. And also made it very clear that she was in no way interested in meeting or talking to President Trump at all.
Yeah, I think she said maybe after the first time he explicitly called out the KKK and all that, but after he went back on that, she said, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, so all this shit goes down, and America is basically in shock. And, you know, people are suddenly seriously considering this is the first time I've seen where Americans in mass basically turned around and said, no, there isn't two sides to this. One side were Nazis, you know,
yeah. Nazis are not a partisan issue. It's not Nazis aren't a left thing. It's not a right thing. Nazis are a human thing. If you are human, you should hate Nazis. That's just how that's supposed to work.
Yes.
Yep.
And it came from some of the most surprising places. Senator Orrin Hatch basically said that, you know, his brother didn't die in World War II just so that Nazi ideas would go unchallenged in America. Mitt Romney basically said that, no, there isn't two sides to this. One side was on the side of hate and intolerance and bigotry. There are no two sides to this. Mm. People basically just roundly. It is literally the first time in a long time I've seen so much of America literally just turn around and say, no, fuck these people. Just it's not left, it's not right, it's just the United States of fuck these people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the people that didn't think Nazis were still around.
Yeah,
a big wake up call.
Yeah, I know that's the thing about it is it made it real to people finally. And here's the thing. Haven't I been saying this shit for the last year and a half?
Yeah.
We all have.
No, yeah.
People are woke now.
You know, I've told people, look, this is, you don't give Nazis a platform.
You don't break bread with them.
No.
You crush them.
Not because Nazis do not give rallies to air their grievances or express anything. They give rallies for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's intimidation. You know, they fly the swastika because the swastika is in itself an act of incitement. They want violence.
Mm-hmm.
They crave it. Their ideology views violence as baptismal and you know, as something as violence for violence sake. That's like one of the key tenets of fascism.
Yes.
You know, redemptive violence. And I guess a lot, you know, it was – and I guess really what really frustrated me is I'd basically been shouting in the void for several months telling people that this shit was going to happen, that somebody was going to get killed. And it finally happened.
Unfortunately.
And now all of a sudden people are like, oh my God, there are Nazis in America. There have been Nazis in America before World War II even started.
Hmm.
Okay?
Lots of sympathizers before World War II started.
You know? And, you know, as soon as the alt-right started becoming a thing, you know, I was telling people, no, don't fall for the rhetoric. You know who these people are. You know, this is an act of them rebranding themselves. Don't fall for it. And it took an innocent woman losing her life on the streets of Charlottesville for people to finally open their eyes. And if there's any good that's come out of this, it's that it's final. People have finally cut the bullshit. You know, they see it. Most people, at least, finally see this for what it is now. And it took bloodshed for it to happen, but it finally happened.
And our other asshole of the week is helping to push whatever is still going with the Nazis.
Yes.
For his base.
Of course it is. It's our other person. It's our other asshole of the week. Donald Trump. And you noticed I didn't say President Trump because I refuse to acknowledge that man as president.
And not for long anyway.
He tried to pull this shit where he's like, and this is like the first time, and this is really the first time, and like, look, there's been shit with Trump throughout these entire 7 months. But this one seems to have been the one that everybody collectively decided, no, fuck you. Because he tried to pull this whole, you know, we condemn the violence on many sides. On many sides. You know, that's the phrase he fucking used.
Yeah.
Because he's a man child, and apparently he doesn't have, you know, permanence of memory or anything. And, like, it didn't matter if you were Democrat or Republican. People just straight up said, no, this isn't a many-sided issue. This dude was a Nazi, and he killed someone.
Didn't even Mitch McConnell say,
Yeah, even Mitch McConnell was like, no, no. Mm-mm. Paul Ryan was like, no.
Oh,
no,
yeah, vocally he was
though
like
he
that.
Was also talking about those supporting that. And it's like, well, you should look up the ladder a little bit.
Yeah.
You got one of those you're supporting right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, Orrin Hatch and Mitt Romney both were, you know, and like Orrin Hatch, you know, like he said, his brother died fighting the Nazis in World War II, you know. And both of my great-grandfathers, they fought the fascists in World War II as well. You know, my great-granddad Smith, he fought, you know, the Japanese imperialist in Iwo Jima. My other one, he fought the Germans, you know, in Europe.
And great thing about that first press conference is him leaving.
Yeah.
As reporters are saying, do you want the support of these white nationalist groups? That's a question you shouldn't be just ignoring and leaving.
No, you don't walk off from that.
No, he took the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He pretty much said, yes, I do.
And
that's what it means to me.
Oh, by the way, did I mention that he didn't start saying this shit until 48 hours after all of this had gone down?
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't just an off-the-cuff thing.
There wasn't a fucking word from him on Twitter. Not a goddamn thing. But you know that shit that went down in Barcelona?
That
terrorist attack, which itself was pretty awful.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, he immediately jumped on that one.
Did you see the thing with the police helicopter that crashed after the rally?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He immediately sent condolences to the police and all that. Didn't acknowledge that Heather Heyer died at all.
Nope.
For a couple days.
Yeah. And for the record, just so anybody knows, the folks in Spain know what's up, and they're already up in the, like, no, we're not going to let those fascist scumbags try and exploit this.
Oh, yeah.
Because the whole world hurled about the shit that went down in Charlottesville. And
Angela Merkel spoke up about it. It's like, okay, if you know any one place in this world, it has no tolerance for that anymore.
Yeah.
It's Germany.
Yep. I live in it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, there was a story about a drunk man that was in Germany, decided to start doing the
Sieg Heiling thing in front of the Reichstag building.
Oh, shit.
And he got beat up.
Oh, yeah, some dude just straight up went and cold cocked him.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is not the worst thing that could have happened to the dude.
No, I mean, the t-shirts that these guys are wearing at this rally would get them thrown in jail in Germany.
Yeah, for 3 years.
And I'd be glad you just got
minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it finally took all this shit to happen for people to finally lose themselves of that liberal wishy-washy, you know.
Well, it's just the liberals' tears that are going on here.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, the two people that had the best statements after this whole thing was Hillary and Obama.
Yeah, Obama, who, by the way, his tweet is now the most liked tweet in the history of Twitter.
Hmm. Yeah, and he has like 6 of the top 10.
Yeah.
So Trump, if you want to... I think the joke was... If Trump wants to take number one, he just has to say, I resign.
Yep. So
all that shit with Trump went down. He basically faced a day of everyone basically telling him to go fuck himself because...
His own side, too. That was what was great about it.
Yeah, people dropping off kind of left and right.
And all of a sudden, all his, you know, his business count, his economic council is now just gone. He says he dissolved it. The truth of the matter is they all just straight told him, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Then he had another press conference where he then called out the KKK and, you know, Nazis and all that, because obviously he got the script from his aides and all that.
Yeah.
Finally,
and then he tried to turn around. He's like, well, what about the alt-left? Don't they have some responsibility? In this case, no. They don't. They didn't start the violence.
No.
They were 100% in self-defense there.
And weren't the ones running around with Nazi symbols and all that and guns and all that.
You know, they weren't the one who ganged up on some random black guy and beat the living daylights out of him with metal rods in a parking garage somewhere.
God damn.
And then he started doing the cherish our history stuff. Mm-hmm. Are we tearing down our history? Which
we're fixing to get to that.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But this is probably the fine. And then we're going to talk about it in just a little bit. Back, you know what? Well, let's move on to some of the other stuff we got to talk about. Like, there was a sort of another protest that the left had, where it was mostly them singing peace songs. And
yeah,
then
it was sort of a memorial to Heather Heyer.
Mm-hmm. And then in Durham, North Carolina, a bunch of protesters got down and got some ropes, and they straight up tore down a flimsy ass Confederate statue.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. See, it looks like it should be pretty sturdy, and then it just crumples over as it falls.
Yeah, it folds like the thing was made of tin of something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and it's really nothing more than that. They straight up just said, fuck this thing. They got some ropes and some straps. They put it around. I guess they hooked it to a dude's car or something and just yanked it down. And then they started stomping on it and spitting on it, as they should. And, you know, that's kind of just sort of kickstarted, because now all of a sudden all these other Confederate memorials are coming down.
Yeah.
And people are finally taking notice of where these things are at.
Yeah.
Like, there's some in New York,
even
Arizona.
Even the living descendants of Robert E. Lee have come out and said, yeah, it's probably a good idea if we took these statues down and put them in a museum somewhere.
Yeah. And the whole bullshit thing is there were warrants for arrest for a number of people.
Yeah, four of them got arrested.
Yeah, and I think like at least 100 people showed up at the courthouse.
Yeah, they all lined up outside outside of the police office wearing black.
To turn themselves in.
So, in mass.
If you're going to take any of us, take all of us.
Yeah. That's straight out of the Dr. King playbook.
Yep.
You know, that is all of a sudden now there's talk, like down here in Georgia, there's now talk of, you know, getting rid of the facade on Stone Mountain.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you guys have seen that, right?
Yeah.
It's an eyesore, but unfortunately it's protected by Georgia law, and in order for it to get rid of it or modify it in any way, it has to be approved by the Georgia legislature. So unless you go out there by yourself with an RPG or something, there's no way that thing's coming down anytime soon.
Well, they should obviously change the law to take it down and just have a nice party where they just shoot cannonballs at it.
Yeah.
Just destroy it.
Make it a family affair.
Yeah.
Raise money for charity.
We'll have some fireworks after.
Yeah. Hot dogs, hamburgers.
Yeah.
Just make sure everybody's got their protection.
Ear protection.
It'll certainly, you know, protection. With that thing gone, the laser show will certainly look better. That's for sure.
Just replace it with, I don't know which of the colleges is nearby, just replace it with the mascot for there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's what's funny is, so I don't know if you guys know this, but in Seattle, there's this big bronze statue of Vladimir Lenin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you guys hear about this? There was like this small protest of like, what, like 10 people showing up saying, you know, take down the statue of Vladimir Lenin, holding signs that said Lenin is Hitler. Marxism equals bigotry. there was like there was like 10 people there at most, and they fell pretty thoroughly on their faces. Somebody said like, "Well, you know, get a couple more, they might be able to fill up a minivan." But
yeah,
of course, the thing is, and they apparently either didn't know this or just ignored that Lenin statue is actually private property.
so they were trespassing. Oh, great.
Yeah, they were trespassing. Yeah. In fact, supposedly you can buy it on eBay for a couple hundred grand. So, and unfortunately, I don't think it would fit in my house. But
no, it might fit in front of your house.
Yeah, maybe. But you also got to remember where I live.
Yeah.
Shipping would probably kill that deal.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh fuck. monetization fees.
Yeah, so before we move on, I also need to let you know, so we put it in the show notes, a resource from the Southern Poverty Law Center that basically shows you all the information they have on, you know, some of the individuals and groups and symbols that showed up at Charlottesville. And, like, for example, American Vanguard are openly fascists. Like, their symbol is literally an eagle carrying a Roman fascis, which is the literally Mussolini's symbol of fascism. Yeah. You know, you had, I think, Identity Europa, which has that weird triangular thing. You saw, like, sun wheels and lots of death heads, and you know, it's pretty clear where their sympathies lie. And people were like, finally understood for the first time, these are people, they do exist here, and they are a threat.
Yep.
And they're an even bigger threat than Muslim terrorists, because they basically have the lion's share of terrorist attacks in the United States.
Yeah.
We just have to wait for the people in charge to recognize them as terrorists.
Yes. Before we move on, one more thing I wanted to say, which is a little bit about something called the paradox of tolerance. The paradox of tolerance is a concept, well, an idea that was brought up by philosopher Karl Popper, an Austrian-British philosopher and professor, who in his book The Open Society and Its Enemies, he brings up this idea, and basically this is what it says: unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. And this formulation, I do not imply, for instance, that we should always suppress the utterance of intolerance philosophies. As long as we can counter them by rational argument and keep them in check by public opinion, suppression would certainly be most unwise. But we should claim the right to suppress them if necessary, even by force. For it may easily turn out that they are not prepared to meet us on the level of rational argument, but begin by denouncing all argument. They may forbid their followers to listen to rational argument because it is deceptive, and teach them to answer arguments by the use of their fists or pistols. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right not to tolerate the intolerant. We should claim that any movement preaching intolerance places itself outside the law, and we should consider incitement to intolerance and persecution as criminal, in the same way as we should consider incitement to murder or to kidnapping or to the revival of the slave trade as criminal.
Hell yes.
Yep, and we're starting to see it.
Yeah, he put that very succinctly.
And by the way, that's that book, The Open Societies and Its Enemies. Yeah, that was published back in 1945.
Go figure.
Yeah, literally like just a little after the tail end of World War II.
Yeah.
So. like I said, the dude is Austrian. You know, the dude was Austrian. He was from Austria. Hitler was from Austria.
Yep.
You know, the dude knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's video too?
Well,
Trump?
If anybody in America is going to stand up and say no, you know, fuck Nazis, it's going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he was talking about how he lived around these people that were swept up in that ideology.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure wasn't his one of his relatives a Hitler youth?
I don't know. He didn't talk about that specifically, but he talked about seeing these people after the war that were just broken.
Uh-huh.
That he knew that they were going to hell when they died because they could not, they did not have any purpose anymore, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But then also talked about how you can't reason with the Nazis.
No.
Yeah, you can't.
Because their whole ideology is anti-reason.
Yeah.
Again, if you really want to know how the fascist mind works, unfortunately you have to sort of look into their ideologues. People like Julius Evola, you know, or you know, some of the other guys. Because their ideology is by itself anti-reason. It is, or mysticism, to them, it doesn't matter if a fact is objectively true, as long as its spirit is true, it doesn't matter.
And he also likened Nazi in the Nazi ideology being like cancer.
Yeah.
You would take any experimental procedure that would allow you to get rid of it completely.
Yeah.
And it makes you sort of appreciate his viewpoint, as well as feel a little bit sad that his time as governor did not go that well.
Yeah.
Because he has a reasonable head on his shoulders.
Well, yeah. He is a Republican, and he's one of the more reasonable ones. I mean, like he said, he lived through that shit. He knows, you know.
I think he was born right after the war.
Yeah, but I mean.
But he lived around the people that were swept up in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if anybody is talking about it, you know, listen to him.
Yeah.
Because he has experience. But, so, that's all the bad stuff out of the way. Now we get to the good stuff. Because, like I said, this shit went down and it was horrible. But people finally pulled their heads out of their asses. And we're going to start with probably the epitome of all of it. Steve Bannon is gone. Shit can fired. Yeah, I would have preferred out of a cannon, but he was.
Kelly did.
Yep.
The chief of staff.
John Kelly?
Yeah.
He basically like, nope. Sorry, Bannon, you're gone.
Yeah, they're out. The rest of the administration is at Camp David. He wasn't on the guest list.
Yep.
That's sort of where people started figuring this out.
Yeah. And, yeah, Bannon was part of it. There's two reasons for this. One is because Steve Bannon is a shit piece of human garbage. But the other one is, of course, Trump was apparently absolutely convinced that Bannon has been the leaker.
I wouldn't entirely surprise me, but whatever.
I mean,
he's gone right back to Breitbart, so.
Yep. And he's basically said that he's getting his guns out. I mean, he's claimed publicly that he's going to be going out and campaigning for the causes that Trump apparently ran on. But people who have known Steve Bannon are like, no, he is going to rake Trump over the coals over at Breitbart. And that's probably the one thing that will probably finally kill Donald Trump's career as president.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that Bannon's got some serious dirt that he can let loose if he wants to.
He's basically been the DD of the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
He's got shit on everybody.
Yeah. But even if he doesn't, it's Breitbart. They just make shit up anyway.
That's And you got to remember is that a good chunk of Trump's supporters are Breitbart aficionados. And they also need to know that they're a bunch of bleeding sheep. So if they
just sit back and watch while the whole thing eats itself.
Yeah.
It's going to be amusing to see if Trump keeps parroting Breitbart stuff. He was doing that during the campaign.
Yeah.
showing articles during his interviews like, look, this article says I'm right.
Yeah. Bannon is gone. You know who else is gone? The Daily Stormer. We brought them up briefly earlier, and GoDaddy basically contacted Daily Stormer and said, hey, get your shit and get out. You got 24 hours.
Yeah, you violated our TOS.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they then found a place on Google hosting and lasted 3 hours before Google kicked them the fuck off.
Yep. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then they tried to go over to a Russian server, and then when the folks at the Russian server found out who it was, they kicked them out, too.
Yep. So now they've been driven underground. The wild card in this for the early going was Cloudflare, because they provided DDoS protection for them. At one point during the week, the CEO of Cloudflare got up and just decided, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Daily Stormer had basically said that Cloudflare is one of us, and that was the tipping point for him. It's like, nope, you're gone. So, and as soon as Cloudflare pulled the DDoS protection from the Daily Stormer, it just got tanked. But the bigger story, though, is the cascade effect this has had. It's not just the Daily Stormer now. You've had, we were talking about the Tiki rally. The Tiki torch manufacturers were saying, this is not an approved use of our products.
This is for backyard barbecues.
Yeah.
With the family.
For friends and family to come together and have a good time.
Yeah.
Not advocate the genocide of an entire ethnicity.
Yeah. Here's all these big businesses that are doing what the president cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's, Ford tech CEOs like Tim Cook and all that have basically gone on record as saying, no, we do not agree with what Donald Trump said. They've started giving money to, anti-Nazi organizations. You've had companies like Spotify even. Basically going through their catalog and just nuking all of these hate bands, because there's actually a list of, very racist, blatantly racist bands.
There was OKCupid banned one of the people that got identified at the rally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All those folks who were in that rally, they got their pictures taken and they got their asses fired.
Yeah. Airbnb, people who were at the rally basically found their Airbnbs revoked.
Yep.
Discord got rid of some of the alt-right channels.
Yep.
They're still working on it.
Reported.
They're still working. It's opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Now it's all on, obviously, your 4chans, your Reddits. See what they're going to do.
Here's the funny thing. I actually went on to 4chan a couple days ago. Just to see how they were reacting. There were even people on poll, the politically incorrect part of 4chan saying this was a bad idea.
Wow.
And so even they were like, no,
this is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Shouldn't do that.
Which I never thought anything would actually get the people on 4chan to do that. And like I said earlier, all those Confederate memorials I talked about earlier that they are now either taking down or in the process of taking down or have had referendums that are going to have them come down.
Yeah, everybody's saying, okay, we need to round up all the information on where these are at, start seeing what we're going to do with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore removed theirs in the middle of the night,
yep,
just to avoid any people showing up, which is great. Trying to look at there's like a decent list here. Pictures of, let's see, Franklin. Where's that at? Warren County. I gotta open up these articles. Stupid places need to put what state this is in. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. All you need to know is that they're coming down.
Yeah. Like, the mayor of Lexington, Kentucky is basically like, all right, we're going to get this stuff out of here.
Hmm.
They were planning to do that in a couple, start announcing it in a couple weeks, but they're like, all right, we're doing this now.
Yep.
We're not screwing around here. What was cool is a bunch of colleges that had alt-rights, Nazi, whatever, rallies that were planning, were shutting them all down.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M, Florida, a couple other places. Because obviously they don't want anything like what happened in Charlottesville happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Montana is going to remove one of its Confederate memorial
mounds. Mm-hmm.
That's a weird place for it to be in.
Yep.
Well, it is, but it fits with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's out in the middle of nowhere. So yeah. I'm surprised people found it. and the whole thing about, oh, we have to cherish our history, we have to remember our history, it's like, these are fucking statues.
The history well, not is only well are they just
in not books, just museums,
it's not that. It's not that these are not just that these are statues. It's that these are also statues that were put up at the earliest 50 years after the war ended.
Yeah,
specifically like by people who wanted to basically intimidate the black population.
Yeah, sort of in the wake of like the suffragist movements, or people that were, you know, put down as far as like their rights and all that, starting to get more rights.
Yeah,
and the civil rights movement was beginning to gain momentum, and these people wanted to put up these things as a sign of, hey, we're watching you.
Yeah, and also it was part of that very long propaganda campaign of the Lost Causers. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Southerner, you're familiar with the Lost Cause bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I did see some good pictures of, I think it was in Arizona, people defacing some of these memorials, putting like, what was it, second place participants they wrote on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nice try, second placers. Like they just tarred and feathered one of the
Tarred and feathered the memorial to Jefferson Davis.
One just spray painted white all over one of these memorials.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a nice little video of the state having to power wash it off. Which, yeah, that's the bad part of it, is you're not hitting the people that need to be hit on this stuff.
Yeah,
you're just punishing the bureaucrats, the people that just work every day, they don't have any part in any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it does show public discontent, and that's important.
Yep.
Like I said also earlier, a bunch of CEOs and stuff have basically just straight up told Kevin Trump the finger.
Yeah, which was amusing, because they were basically... they decided hours before Trump announced it that they were going to disband, then he tried to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one more got disbanded, and another one that was getting set up about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Trump basically just said, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
He tried to act like, oh, I'm protecting the CEOs from harassment. It's like, no, you just know nobody wants it anymore.
Nobody wants to work with you anymore. It's, that administration, there couldn't be a bigger conflagration in D.C. right now unless the White House itself was on fire.
Yeah. And don't jinx yourself just yet.
I'm surprised it hasn't come to that.
Yeah.
Well, for all of their, for all of the administration's incompetence, the Secret Service actually does know their shit.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Except when they're getting kicked out of the Trump Tower, forced to live out on in a trailer out in the street,
because they
can't figure out the payment stuff.
And and this is funny. So in September on the 16th, there's supposed to be a Trump supporter rally. You know who's also going to be in D.C. on September the 16th?
Who?
The Juggalos.
Which they got an actual good reason for that, because at some point they got classified as a loosely organized hybrid gang, which means that a number of Juggalos, which are generally just normal people, they've gotten fired from jobs because they're associated with a gang legally, because of tattoos and things like that. And a lot of people had bad stuff happen to them over this stupid classification that shouldn't have happened in the first place. And then there's these all right assholes that are basically doing this thing that they're calling the mother of all rallies. Together before the nation's capital around the same time that Saturday for their own demonstration.
Oh, this can't possibly go badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a contender for douchiest thing that ever happened.
Yeah. And here's something else about the Juggalos you may not know. They're primarily white working class, and politically they tend to be on the left.
Yeah.
So, you guys have fun with that.
Yeah, that's going to be entertaining.
You know. Nazi shits carry torches. You know what the Juggalos carry?
Hatchets. Fago.
And Fago, yes. So, moving on from there. And thankfully, that is the sort of tail end to just that whole cocktail of bullshit. Now we move on to some just the regular shit. So, first of all, ESPN... they had a segment where they had auctioned off fantasy football. You know, like, do any of you guys play fantasy sports?
I do, but not this auction stuff.
Yeah, so some fantasy sports, specifically football, will have these things where they'll basically auction off players. You can, of course, if you can get them, you can get them, add them to your team. And, of course, the way fantasy football works is whoever ends up has the best stats and ends up winning, you know, has the best stats and, you know, numbers at the end of the season wins, right?
Yeah. Right.
Problem is the way that they did this, and first of all, I don't think ESPN in any way meant this to look the way it did.
No, this was very clearly they didn't think how it was going to look.
And it might have been just really bad timing on their part, too.
You kind of wonder the makeup of people that were setting this whole thing up.
Yeah, and for the record, it wasn't just black players that they were auctioning off. But if you were to edit it in a certain way, it looks pretty much like a slave auction.
I mean, yeah, the video here is just them going over this stuff, and they just happen to throw it to the auction as they're auctioning off Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
One of the most popular black players in the league. And it looks like a slave auction.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Bad timing, ESPN.
At least we're not as bad as the Nazis.
Like, I'm pretty sure there was like a cameraman or something who was there, and he's like, are y'all seeing what I'm seeing?
And the crowd, the group of people that are doing this auction are mostly white.
Yeah,
that's the other bad part of it.
That is a coincidence.
Yeah.
Again, this.
Yeah, I don't think there was any malicious intent. Yeah.
It was just really bad timing on their.
Like, oh, here's all these white men in khakis and nice shirts, trying to buy a black man.
Like, wow. Look, there's
see,
a point
this
where.
Is a-
There's
this
a reason
a
why
where
people don't do these
context
things first.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's usually done on websites where it's all abstracted enough.
Yeah.
But then you got these dudes, you know, these old white guys holding up, you know, little cardboard faces of, you know, players on popsicle sticks,
yeah.
You know, auctioning them off for money. And it's,
yeah.
It just doesn't look good. It's,
no. Not in the slightest.
The guy wins and he's like, yeah, I won the black man.
Oh, God. Well, it's going to go down as one of the more awkward moments of the year for ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't need it anymore.
I think Kevin Durant commented on it and said, bum-ass ESPN running out of ideas.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
You don't want to go this far in your fantasy football segments.
Yeah. So, moving on from there, Martin Scorsese, as we all know, he was basically found guilty on, like, what was that, like 3 or 4 counts? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been sentenced yet.
That's in September, I think.
Yeah, it's next month. It's
about another month.
But we got a transcript of many of the potential jurors who, of course, were dismissed. And the reasons that were given were, well, they were hilarious. Honest and just hilarious. And
yeah, we should probably read a couple of these because these are funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go. Let's see. Okay, we'll start with... start at the top. Okay, so the first one was juror number one. And, should we sort of kind of briefly describe how this works? Basically, and I'm guessing this is how it works in other countries too, but in the United States, when you have a trial by jury, before the actual trial begins, you have to interview potential jurors to find out if they have any undue bias or something that might make them – that might, you know, make them have a preconceived verdict one way or the other.
And before the lawyer on both sides sort of going over these people.
Yeah. And
asking them questions and all that.
Yeah. It's also really easy to get yourself out of jury duty.
That's the whole stereotype. Just say you hate black people and they kick you out. Then there's those judges that are like, oh, I get what you're trying to do here. You're not getting out so easily.
Yeah, one of my dad's friends is a lawyer. He sends that shit all the time. He has stories he could tell. But basically, okay, so they're asking that question to, you know, is there any way that would make you impartial? And he says, and first juror number one says, I'm aware of the defendant and I hate him. Benjamin Braffman says, I'm sorry. Juror number one says, I think he's a greedy little man. Court says, jurors are obligated to decide the case based solely on the evidence. Do you agree? Juror number one says, I don't know if I could. I wouldn't want me on this jury. And then they brought up juror number 18. Juror number 18 said, both of my parents are on prescriptions that have gone up over the past few months, so much that they can't afford their drugs. I have several friends who have HIV or AIDS who, again, can't afford the prescription drugs that they were able to afford, that they were previously able to afford. Court says, these charges don't concern drug pricing. Could you decide this case based only on the juror number 8's like, no. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Then they have, he's like, okay, juror number 25, come forward, please. And juror number 5 says, this is the price gouging, right, of drugs? Of course, says, this case has nothing to do with the drugs. Juror 25 says, my kids use those drugs. Of course, says, as I said, the case does not concern anything that you might have read or heard about the pricing of certain pharmaceuticals. Juror number 5 says, it affects my opinion of him. And of course, this excuses him. Then juror number 40 comes forward and says, I'm taking prescription medication. I would be upset if it went up by 1,000%. I saw the testimony on TV to Congress, and I saw his face on the news last night. By the time I came in and sat down and he turned around, I felt immediately I was biased.
That guy's going for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
For the record, these guys are dropping like flies, too.
Yeah.
Of course, says, all right, excuse you. Number 47 come up. 47 says, he's the most hated man in America. In my opinion, he equates with Bernie Madoff with the drugs for pregnant women going from $15 to $750. My parents are in their 80s. They're struggling to pay for their medication. My mother was telling me yesterday how my father's cancer drug is $9,000 a month. Court says, the case is going to come before you on evidence that you must consider fairly and with an open mind. Number 47 says, I would find that difficult. Court says, and that's based on your parents' experience with medication. Number 47 says, it's based on people working very hard for their money. He defrauded his company and his investors, and that's just not right. Court excuses number 47. Number 52 comes in. When I walked in here today, I looked at him, and in my head, that's a snake. Not knowing who he was, I just walked in and looked right at him, and that's a snake. Braffman says, so much for the presumption of innocence. Court says, we will excuse number 52. 52 goes, number 67. Number 67 says, the fact that he raised the price of that AIDS medication like such an amount of money disgusts me. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget him. Who does that? Who does that? Puts profit and self-interest ahead of anything else. So it's not a fair far stretch that he could do what he's accused of.
Yeah,
They excuse him. Number 70, I have total disdain for the man when you go back to how he was able to put so many children. Of course, says you have negative feelings. Sure, says very. I ask, you know, would you be fair for both sides? I can be fair to one side, but not the other. Then they bring in number 77. Number 77 says, from everything I've seen on the news, everything I've read, I believe the defendant is the face of corporate greed in America. Rathman said we would object. Rathman, for you know, he's Shkreli's defense, for those who don't know. Number 77 says, you'd have to convince me he was innocent rather than guilty. They accuse him.
I'd say go down to 144.
Yeah. The 125 basically does a similar story of like, you know, I got relatives, a mother with epilepsy, grandmother with Alzheimer's. Then they bring in number 144, and juror number 144 says, I heard through the news of how the defendant changed the price of a pill by upselling it. I heard he bought an album from the Wu-Tang Clan for $1 million. That's true, by the way.
Yes.
Court asks, the question is, have you heard anything that would affect your abilities to decide this case with an open mind? Can you do that? Juror number 40 says, I don't think I can because he kind of looks like a dick.
Good luck finding jurors.
Next guy says, I think they're as guilty as they come.
Go down to 59. Go down to juror 59.
Yeah. This is my personal favorite. They bring in jury 59. He says, Your Honor, totally he is guilty, and in no way can I let him slide out of anything because, court interrupts, okay, is that your attitude or anyone charged with a crime who has not been proven guilty? Jury number 59 says, it's my attitude towards his entire demeanor, what he has done to people. Court says, all right, we are going to excuse you, sir, and before juror number 59 he says, and he disrespected the Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
No. There's one good thing here. Juror number 10 says, the only thing I'd be impartial about is what prison this guy goes to.
Yeah.
So there's some people.
Not going to have a good time with it.
That's how you should end any bit of shade you're throwing to people, and he disrespected the Wu-Tang Clan.
All right, so next up, we got some sports news. In Atlanta, of course, the Falcons have their own stadium. And recently,
the one that's opening up.
Yeah, new one's opening up. And there's actually going to be a Chick-fil-A installed in that stadium. There's just a problem, though. Chick-fil-A's aren't open on Sundays.
They're not making an exception for this one.
Nope.
So 7 of their 8 home games this year are going to be on Sundays. So that's one of the stalls that's not going to be open.
That was a huge waste of money.
And you know what?
They got other events that will take advantage of that, but
yeah.
The one big one that the whole reason this whole stadium exists is not going to be able to use it.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a guy that is going to open up his own, is going to have his own stand there. Let's see, his name is Atlanta restaurateur and former Top Chef contestant Kevin Gillespie. Will be selling his COS, closed on Sunday, chicken sandwich from a stand on the 200 concourse. So he says it's going to be pretty close to what Chick-fil-A does, so.
Yeah.
People are going to still be able to get their Chick-fil-A style sandwich.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like most food companies, they guard their secret recipe, but it's a breaded fried chicken breast on a bun with pickles. I figured I could come up with something pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah. So
yeah, it starts as they're closed on Sunday for religious reasons. I respect that, but why is it that I crave a Chick-fil-A sandwich, chicken sandwich, almost exclusively on Sundays? It's like clockwork. I wake up on Sunday morning and think, you know, what'd be really good right now, a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And that's where it goes. Like most food companies, they guard their secrets. So you figured he comes do something pretty close. So
yeah,
good luck to him, and he's gonna probably make some good money off of that. Here's our Chick-fil-A style sandwich.
Yep. He will probably make bank. So so going next, we got some science news. So NASA, their Cassini probe is going to begin their final dives into Saturn's atmosphere. That's going to be interesting to see, cuz
yeah, we've not really seen inside there.
Let's see, yeah.
And it starts on Saturday at 9:22 p.m. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make its closest approach to Saturn at about 1,010 to 1,060 miles above Saturn's cloud tops.
Cool.
And it's basically going to go into a terminal trajectory and just keep getting closer and closer until it finally crashes and destroys itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a spacecraft they sent out. When did they send this out? I think it's like 2004. No, it's been running since 2004. I think it got sent out in the late 90s.
Mm.
Like 97. It took about 7 years to get over there.
Yeah, the images from those are going to be really cool once they start showing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As
it's basically going to make about five passes around before it finally crashes in.
Yeah, because nobody's ever really seen the surface of Saturn, if there is even a surface there to begin with.
Yeah.
Might
just go right through it, and we don't know.
But it'll be interesting to see once those pictures make their way back here. Mm. Yeah, so we'll be watching out for that. And then we got some paleontology news. The Chilesaurus. No, it's not a not some cheap hot dog you can get at the baseball stadium. It is a dinosaur that is believed to be the sort of the bridge between carnivorous and between plant eaters and meat eaters.
Carnivores and herbivores.
Yep. And let's see, suggests it is in fact the missing link between plant eating dinosaurs such as Stegosaurus and carnivorous dinosaurs like T-Rex. So I'm guessing this was a dinosaur that could eat both.
Yeah.
And it has physical attributes, like different parts of its bodies are similar to both.
Yeah, it's got a neck and head kind of like a brontosaurus. It has
the legs of an animal like a brontosaurus, the hips of a stegosaurus, and arms and body of a T-Rex.
Yep.
And they had no idea where it fit on the dino family tree.
Yeah.
But then we had that story a few months ago about them finally figuring out, oh, the whole tree we've had for decades is completely wrong.
Yeah.
But the ornithischians. And so now the meat eaters and the plant eaters are kind of on the same part.
Yep.
And so now they're figuring out that this Chilesaurus may very well have been a evolutionary link between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of starts to explain how we got from one to the other.
Yeah. Jurassic Park lied to you, folks. Well, let's be honest here. Jurassic Park was wrong about a lot of things.
Everybody was kind of wrong about those things for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, we basically realized there was like a whole subspecies of dinosaur that we were completely ignoring. and categorized.
A bunch of them had feathers. Some weren't as big and ferocious as we thought.
Yep.
T-Rexes weren't as fast as we thought.
Mm-hmm. So next up, we got movie news. Daniel Craig, despite what he said, is coming back as James Bond at least one more time.
Yeah, they just decided to throw enough money his way. It's like, well, okay. That's pretty much what that's going to boil down to, I think.
And he's like, all right, this is the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's basically said, yeah, I would rather shoot myself than have to be James Bond one more time.
And I imagine that's a lot of physical training and all that
mm-hmm.
to go through as a guy who's probably in his 50s at this point.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, well, we don't know much about the next Bond movie, but now we know Daniel
Craig's going to be in it. It's just called Bond 25, and it's out just over 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we still got plenty of time to go.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but, yeah, I hope he goes out with a bang, though. Because he was the definitive Bond for, like, a generation, so... Yeah. Which it feels weird saying because I was around when Pierce Brosnan was Bond. Yeah. So
yeah, I didn't really care about any of the Bond movies until Casino Royale.
Yeah.
That one was just really good.
Mm-hmm. But and then we got TV news. ABC had ordered a pilot for, I'm not joking, a live-action Jetsons series.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go.
It's
going to
land with a thud.
Mm-hmm.
It very much depends on the cast and sort of way they're going to do this.
Yeah, they would really have to do a lot of, you know, redoing and reimagining to make this relevant. Because they're
just going to have to reset it and set it 100 years in the future now, figure out what that is like.
Yeah, because... Yeah. Anybody who I like a lot of kids watched the Jetsons reruns a lot when I was a kid, and you have to remember that whole Jetsons, their vision of the future was very much of its time.
Yeah. Kind of got the whole the Earth is so fucked we have to live above the clouds thing, right?
Yeah, they did get that part right. Yeah.
They don't have to change that much. Just some of the other tech stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, and the whole, there was a whole lot of sexism in there. And, so.
And you noticed they were all white people.
Yeah, they were white. They had a robot slave, basically, so.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, now that you bring it up.
Yep.
Rosie.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's,
they probably didn't name her after, like, Rosie the Riveter.
No.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, good luck with that. That's going to be... I will at least watch the pilot anyway, but...
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Robert Zemeckis is executive producer. Jack Rapke, Gary Giannetti has written and produced shows like Family Guy and Will and Grace is also on board. And I think that's about it for what we know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So very little.
And the last thing they've done with the Jetsons since... The movie that was in 1990 is a direct-to-DVD thing they did with the WWE called The Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania, because of course that's what they named it.
Wow.
Okay. There's also like a wrestling-themed Scooby-Doo thing, and all of that happens. So like WWE's getting in at all these cartoons.
For no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Because they want to latch onto that.
Mm.
Watch us. You like these cartoons? Mm. Sort of like how there was the Globetrotters and all these cartoons, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
70s and 80s, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway. But
I still love the Harvey Birdman episode with the Jetsons.
Yeah.
They actually kind of dove into how... the world got fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion of how these people evolved to the point where they don't know how to get anywhere that isn't like on the conveyor belt floors.
Yeah.
It takes some days to walk across the room to the desk.
Oh, God, I got to rewatch that episode this weekend. That was a good one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so next up, HBO Spain made a boo-boo.
In the oopsie of the week column.
Yeah.
One thing you can't blame the hackers on.
Yeah. They somehow, either the algorithm fucked up or one of their third-party distributors, you know, hit a wrong button somewhere, but they accidentally aired the sixth episode of Game of Thrones a week early in Spanish and Norwegian.
Yeah, they say the error appears to have originated with the third-party vendor, and the episode was removed as soon as it was recognized, but it played for about an hour, so that's the whole episode.
Yep.
So late.
They leaked their own episode.
Well, it's not gonna. I don't think it's gonna hurt them too much. People will watch Game of Thrones regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, we'll download the torrent for this and watch it after we watch the fifth episode.
Yeah. Well, if you understand Spanish or Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it language? Do they actually dub it all like that, or is it subtitled?
Yeah, they're dubbed.
Okay.
Yep, they are dubbed.
I guess it would be that big that they would do that work.
Yep.
But, and then finally, we got Netflix. They have signed a big deal with Shondaland for a brand new series. Shondaland, of course, is responsible for Grey's Anatomy, Scandal.
Like How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of ABC's drama stuff.
Yep. They're hit makers, basically.
Disney.
And what did Disney just do?
Uh-huh.
I said we're going to move away in like a year and a half.
Yep.
Streaming service.
This is just Netflix continuing to punch networks in the balls.
Nuts.
Just say, hey, we're just going to give them obscene amounts of money to come work with us for a while.
Yep.
And you mean we don't have to worry about the content restrictions of daytime major networks?
You don't have to worry about getting canceled halfway through the season.
Yeah. You don't even have to worry about episode length.
No.
Nope. Like, fuck yeah! Hell yeah, I'll come make a series for you for $20 million.
So, this is going to be fun to see what they come up with.
Yep. And
yeah, when they got no restrictions, holy shit.
Yeah.
And apparently this is going to be a big blow to ABC because those three shows have been some of the most successful drama stuff. They haven't had much success outside of what Shondaland has produced, which is not good for any network.
Nope. All right. Well, folks, I do believe we have a show.
Yep.
And it was a hell of a show.
Yeah. I'm glad we got through it.
You know, we thought that, no, just the potential of us getting soaked in nuclear fire was going to be the extreme here, but nope.
God damn it! What are we gonna? What is next Friday going to be like? I just can't even imagine.
Stay tuned.
That be when the aliens finally decide to land? I mean, god damn it! At this point.
If you're an alien and you're looking at what's going on here, you're like, I'm staying way the fuck away from these guys.
Nope.
Well, I mean, it just means that they wouldn't land anywhere in North America.
I think what we're going to see is whatever Bannon is going to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently Bannon he's does basically anything. Putting the White House in his sights.
Yeah.
So next week will probably be the Steve Bannon show.
Yep.
And there's already stuff where he's saying, I'm definitely going to crush the opposition.
Yep. And
because I guess apparently he is so far gone that he considers the White House now a Democratic White House.
Well, have you seen him lately?
Yeah. I'm not saying that's just Trump, who nobody on the Democratic side or the Republican side really wants to side with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is shoving up so far that Bannon's just so far to the right of that.
Mm.
It's like, okay, all you fuckers are liberals. Liberals and babies, whatever.
Yeah. He's basically said there is no conservative party in the U.S. anymore. There is no nationalist position in the U.S. anymore. So he's like, fuck you people. And he's going back to Breitbart, and he's going to start spilling the beans. And it's going to be the biggest mistake Trump ever made.
Yeah, one other Confederate news.
Mm-hmm.
Six Flags in Texas is going to stop flying the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Their whole thing was the Six Flags under Texas, so the six different countries and such. Not, I think they're taking all of them down, but the U.S. flag. To say we're screw all this history stuff.
Yeah.
There's only one country that matters.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's a theme park that doesn't fucking go with what Trump has. So, yeah, like, I don't think I can get a picture here to this. But here's what they have when you come into the Six Flags over Texas. It's all U.S. flags.
But,
I gotta wrap the show up.
Yeah. For any of you who are going to be going to see the eclipse this week, just remember...
Monday?
Yeah, that's Monday. Just remember to have something easy to cover your eyes with, because the moon may blot it out, but it can still fry your eyeballs. So,
yeah, just if you don't have eclipse glasses, but you got a smartphone, look through your smartphone's camera, because that will cut your get rid of the light from the sun, so it won't burn your eyeballs.
Right.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, just take pictures and video with the phone. Mm-hmm. Don't. Look at it, just do that, and then you can look through there.
Yeah, you don't want to stare into the sun. That is just not a good idea.
Yeah.
No.
But, regardless of whether there's an eclipse or not.
Yeah, just a good philosophy for life.
I mean, especially when there isn't one.
Yeah, especially don't put on your 3D glasses and look at the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That won't work.
That's even worse.
Yeah, but anyway, so I'd like to remind our viewers that if you want to send us mail, ask us a question, have something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, as well as iTunes, you can also hear us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, your toaster oven, your shower head, your lawnmower, your printer.
Yeah, all those things.
Because, I mean, at this point, pretty much everything's going to be linked up to the internet, so...
Yep. I know you can listen to us on Amazon Alexa, so...
Cool. Yeah. Yes, you can. Now...
Are we on Spotify?
No.
Okay.
They don't like us.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and also you can hear us on archive.org if you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
So with that, I do believe we're going to end it there. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Filippo D'Anolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons, I'd like to say good night. Always remember, there's a Nazi next to you. Punch him.